Voice Alliance International Podcast.
I don't make this stuff up.
You know, if you put Jesus Christ first, that he'll look after all your bills.
It's not fake. It's faith.
Hello and welcome to the latest episode of the Atheist Alliance International Podcast. I'm your host, Jason. Just before we get started, I'd like to remind everybody to please hit that like and subscribe button. Today, we're joined by David Silverman. Some of you may know as past president of American Atheists. So, David, welcome.
Hey, thank you for having me on the show, Jason. It's good to be here.
Yeah, glad that you could make time for us. So let's jump right in. Recently, Ayaan Hirsi Ali's been in the news for her conversion, and there's been a lot of pushback from the people who know her, like Richard Dawkins, Michael Shermer. I've seen letters from them, people who actually have known and met her. I don't know if you've ever met her.
I have.
A lot of people seem to think that her conversion isn't really genuine, that, you know, there's been, you know, she doesn't really talk about anything overtly Christian that she believes in, just that this need for, you know, she needs some sort of supernatural comforting, you know. I can't remember exactly how she described it. So what are your thoughts?
Jason, Ayaan Hirsi Ali has not converted to Christianity. She has converted from an atheist who tells the truth to an atheist who lies. She doesn't believe in God. She doesn't believe in Jesus. She doesn't believe in the second coming. She doesn't believe in any of that stuff because she's an atheist. Now, the problem is that, look, the problem writ large, and I know this is going to be a little reach, but just go with me for a moment. The problem writ large sits at the feet of the American Humanist Association. Because the American Humanist Association, when I was at American Atheists, when we were the movement, the AHA's job was to provide the secular alternative to religion as people were pulled out of religion by the hardliners. They were there to catch people. They were there to provide the ethics. They were there to provide the teaching. The ethical culturists were there too. They also failed, but really it was about the AHA and the humanist wing of the atheist movement, which was supposed to be there and supposed to be doing this. The reason Ayaan Hirsi Ali is converted to Christianity is because the AHA completely failed in its mission, okay? The AHA was supposed to be the good guys. They were supposed to be atheism's answer to religion. And they just changed into something, along with the rest of the movement, into something that's just woke. I mean, there's nobody at the AHA who, I mean, I haven't been paying too much attention for a little while, but there's nobody at the AHA who thinks about Republicans or religious people as humanists, but you can be a Republican or a religious humanist. So my point is that Ayaan Hirsi Ali decided to lie to everybody and decided to convey this idea that she was religious with a whole bunch of stars and asterisks that she knows that everybody will ignore. And the reason was because we have no answer to wokeism. We have no answer we have no source of compassion. We have no teachings of compassion and love. All we have is leftism. All we have is blind, caustic leftism coming from what should have been the good guy arm of the movement. Now, I will also say that I don't blame her, okay? I just think that she needs to change her messaging just a bit because, you know, it's like I said on Boghossian's show a few weeks back, and it's like I said in my essay on Colin Wright's column a few weeks back, maybe a couple of months back now, is that we've lost this battle because of this reason, okay? We've lost the concept of the secular version of religion. It's gone, okay? And so I get why people who are atheists are going back to religion. But I really, really want to implore people to tell the truth when they do it. And I did meet Ayaan Hirsi Ali. I did hire her. We have conversed. And I hope that she will take my one request of advice. And what I hope she does is to call herself a secular Christian and not a Christian. Calling yourself a secular Christian is truthful. It's honest. You're not conveying the idea that you're Christian, that you believe in the God and the Jesus and all that stuff. You're saying what you are, and you're still not pretending to be something that you're not. You're carving out with your power in this case. you're carving out a place for atheism in Christianity when you do that. And I think given the abject failure of the atheist movement to provide a religious a religious-esque place, a cushion, as it were, I think that what Ayaan Hirsi Ali did is going to happen again and again and again. And I can stamp my feet and say I don't like it all I want, but I do understand the point. I do understand why it's happening. I get it. But if you want to continue to be an activist for good, tell the truth, like I said, in Fighting God, and call yourself a secular Christian. At least that way people will know you're not a religious believer. I mean, Jason, we lost so much ground in the past few years. We've lost so much ground, and it is so discouraging to watch an atheist leader, a former atheist leader. Again, she has not become a theist. She's not converted to Christianity. She's just converted to lying about it.
So have you, you said you've conversed, so have you conversed with her? Like, I know you've talked to her in the past, but have you talked to her since this admission has come out?
No. We're not friends or anything like that. I've spoken to her in the past, but we hired her. We had her at the American Atheist Convention 1 year.
And she was so when you say like the AHA was there to catch Christians, so I mean I've heard of it. Some of our viewers may have heard, like, there were things like atheist churches in certain like big cities, people could sort of have that community, like, you know,
yeah, the Sunday assemblies, all of those things. And I don't know how those organizations are going right now, but I do know that the AHA was the powerhouse movement, the powerhouse wing of the movement. They had the money, they had the critical mass needed to foster all that stuff on a local level. We had a plan. Okay, we had a plan. might have worked if it weren't for those rotten, those meddling kids who confuse their political leanings with being good. That's just good. Oh, I'm good, and therefore my politics are good, and therefore everybody's outside my politics is bad. I don't know. I don't actually know the answer to this question, but I know the answer to this question. When was the last time the AHA had a Republican on their stage in any way, shape, or form? I haven't actually looked, but I'm absolutely sure it's been a long freaking time. Even if that person was an atheist. I remember when we used to have Christians on our stage at atheist conventions, and we would debate. And the reason we would debate is because we knew we would win, because we knew we were right. And when the Christians wouldn't come and debate us, we made fun of them because we knew that they knew that they couldn't beat us. And now the AHA is so far left that they have ignored the entire right side of the atheist movement. They won't even put them on stage to even debate secular issues.
Yeah. That's Thomas Sheedy's organization, right? To reach out to the right
Thomas Sheedy's organization should be Thomas Sheedy should be speaking at the AHA convention and the FFRF convention. Yes, absolutely. For fuck's sake, you're one movement and you can't hear from the other side of your own movement. You can put a preacher on stage, but you can't put an atheist Republican on stage. What the fuck are you afraid of? Are you afraid of everything? Are you afraid of everything? Are you just like that sniveling preacher who wouldn't get on stage with me every time I begged them to because they knew they couldn't stand up to my basic logic? For fuck's sake. You know, there was somebody who posted a Q&A at our FFRF convention. And the question was, how do we get the David Silvermans back into the movement? And I'm not going to go into more details about who said it and what I think about the person who said it or what I think about him asking that. But he did ask, how do we get the David Silvermans back into the movement? And the answer is so easy. Put them on stage. Put them on stage. You'll bring them back. Now, I want to make it clear. I'm not speaking literally here. Okay. I'm not interested. Go somewhere else. But the people like me, the people who are not leftists, if you want people who are not leftists to come back to the movement, if you want people to come back to the movement, represent them just like you represent people of color. Just like you represent people of the LGBTQ community. If you want the rest of the world to come back to your convention, you got to invite them in. But in order to do that, you're going to have to debate your points.
So is this so far, I mean, AI being a global organization, myself, also, I'm not American. So
yeah.
could this be something to do with this polarization in the U.S. with, you've got this far right movement with Trump. Is that kind of why they're afraid to touch these people? I mean, obviously they're atheists, so they're rational. They just happen to have right wing political views. But is it, this it polarization, or what's going on?
I think what people outside the U.S. have to understand is that there's a pathology going around. Okay, it's called wokeness, and it allows you to completely dehumanize anybody who disagrees with you even a little bit. And the result is that, I mean, America's at each other's throat. Now, the thing is, it's all vapid, okay? Nobody has any sort of deep level of knowledge. If they do, they don't agree with what the things they're saying, but they're afraid of being canceled. They're afraid of, you know, they have a lot to lose. So there is a lot of almost, how do I say it? They're trying to outdo each other with wokeness. And they're absolutely terrified of going backwards, of even admitting the concept that they could be wrong on any topic or that the other people on the other side could be good. Can't do that either. And so what you've got is this atheist movement in America, which is not at all like the atheist movement that used to be in America. An atheist movement in America where there is a set narrative on just about every political issue, and it is 100% leftist, 100%, and 100% extreme leftist. And it's a shame. And you know, I used to, you know, for a brief period of time, I ran Atheist Alliance International. And I think that AAI has a tremendous opportunity to do good and to get a lot done if it just stays away from the wokeness. And I, you know, my goodness, I hope you guys do that. When I was there, it was great. And my wife, Christine, is still there, and she loves the organization, and I want the organization to succeed. It is repugnant to me what wokeness has done to the atheist movement. It's beyond repugnant. It's like a Greek tragedy. You know, you build a deck of cards and then it collapses in slow motion while you watch. Or not even a deck of cards, rather a house of, instead of a house of cards, something that you thought was much stronger, and then it collapsed. I think AAI really has an important role in, a potentially important role in American politics, in the American atheist arena, in that you can be a non-woke outside force to pull the movement back in. The American atheist movement, except for Atheists for Liberty, is toast. They've totally walked away from the plot. They've totally walked away from what we were, what we did, and what we accomplished.
And this is what you mean by we've lost a lot of ground the last couple of years.
I mean, a tremendous amount. And on a legal note, too, what very few people seem to know is that last year, America lost three major court battles on the separation of church and state, including the Lemon Law, which was the guidance for the separation of church and state. You know, those three laws.
Can you explain that to our audience?
Yeah, the Lemon Law, it was named after Lemon v. Kurtzman, and it stated that it basically established a three-pronged method to determine if an article or an action was violative of the separation of church and state. You know, did it advance religion? Did it offer alternative viewpoints? And I don't remember the other one, but it was a three-pronged thing that determined, that was there for decades, of whether or not something violated the Constitution, the separation of church and state. We lost that last year. Okay. Why isn't the atheist movement doing something, anything about it? Why aren't we seeing grassroots efforts for local laws? Why aren't we seeing grassroots efforts for national reform, for national laws? Why aren't we raising a ton of money to build the wall of separation back of church and state back? I'll tell you why. It's because the atheist movement isn't the atheist movement anymore.
The atheist FFRF movement, they're still challenging a lot of these cases.
FFRF is doing what they can. FFRF is doing what they can. Yeah. Last time I checked, they had two lawsuits going on. That's fine. I'm not gonna shit on FFRF when they're doing a little, because when nobody else is doing anything.
Okay. Yeah. Just I see their posts where they're like, "Hey, we're fighting this case, we're fighting that." So I see them doing something.
They're fighting cases, but you know, I would like to see somebody talk about the loss of Lemon. I would like to see somebody raising money on it. I would like to see somebody sounding the great, huge alarm. How are those cases going to be judged now? Are those cases at FFRF even valid anymore? We lost Lemon v. Kurtzman. Are those cases even valid anymore? Or are we about to create new bad law?
So was this like a Supreme Court decision that knocked down the Lemon Law?
Yeah. Yeah, so Supreme Court decision. When it was right around the time when we lost abortion, this also happened, and nobody was talking about it. Nobody's talking about it, and I get it, right? Abortion's a big deal, and I'm a very pro-choice person. But man, we lost Lemon, and it's a really, really dire situation.
You know? Well, the Pew Research, I think, was within the last year or two that the evangelicals are now no longer in the majority. So they're declining and our numbers are going up. So why are we, is it just because the Supreme Court's been stacked by the right that we're losing some of these protections, the wall of separation?
I mean, I don't want to say a 5-4 majority or a 6-3 majority is a stacked court. I would say that yes, they were legal decisions. They were Supreme Court decisions, and they changed the landscape. You know, last year was a really bad year, but we need a movement to have a coordinated effort. We need a big money driven coordinated effort to blah 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 to fix this, you know, to lobby at the local federal and state level. And it's going to take time, and it's going to take years to fix this. And nobody's doing anything.
Yeah. Well, it's heartbreaking. The movement does seem to have changed, like, you know, from back in like 2006, when you have like sort of the Four Horsemen and you and all these people. And the movement does seem to have moved on a little bit. AAI has received criticism that, you know, we were supposed to be set up to be there for all the affiliates, but our attention has shifted because the movement has shifted, because there's so many ex-Muslims out there now that a lot of our attention now is really supporting the ex-Muslims who are, like, you know, in these countries. Some of them need to get out, that their lives have been in danger. So, and we've received criticism for that. And it's like, well, you know, if an organization just stands still, it's going to die. As the movement changes, we need to kind of go along with it as well.
AAI is a democratic organization. And so a democratic organization, you know, one can see where that argument is made, right? Where you have a democratic organization, that means that you exist for the organizations, for your voting members. But AAI has to have its own identity too. You have to do your own thing. And if that thing that you do is saving lives, literally, I think that's a pretty good thing for you to be doing. I don't see a reason for criticizing you for doing that. And you know, I think it certainly adds value to your member states as well. You know, but because your member states, by and large, don't save lives. So it's not a bad thing for them to be a member of a larger organization that does.
Yeah. We were involved in last year. Was it within the last year or two? So it was when the Taliban retook Afghanistan. There was a big grassroots movement in Canada that AAI was, we were a part of it, along with Atheist Republic and a lot of the grassroots organizations in Canada. We lobbied, I think it was the Minister of Immigration, because they were offering visas to people, non-Muslims in Afghanistan, to get out of Afghanistan, but there was no provision for non-believers. And AAI, Atheist Republic, and all these Canadian groups, we all came together and lobbied the Canadian government to get that changed, so that atheists could get out of Afghanistan too, not just non-Muslims. So,
I mean, you guys do important work saving lives. As you know, that's the one thing that I never really did. I never really saved a life. I helped, I assisted, but I never actually, I did a lot of things, but I never actually saved a life. The fact that AAI is doing that is important to me, that you're doing that. No, that's why I donate. That's why I support you, because you're doing that. I don't support AAI because you're a democratic organization and you serve your members. I support AAI because of what you do in your activism and in your plate, in your own place, in your own name.
Yeah.
So I think I agree with you on that 100%, frankly.
Yeah. And we have the affiliates come to us with campaigns that they want us to help with, and campaigns that are important to them that we can collaborate with other organizations that also want to be involved. So, you know, we're doing what we can. We do what we can to support our members. You know, we might not always succeed, or, you know, maybe we miss an opportunity sometimes. So,
well, that's going to happen over and over again.
Yeah. So that's, I guess, the big hot button issue, I guess, right now is Israel and Gaza, and there's been a lot of heated rhetoric. I've been involved in some of it myself, like just like the posts that I've seen from people. You have been posting about woke Jews. One thing that I'm kind of annoyed with Twitter. Like Twitter keeps saying that, you know, that they're not going to tolerate any sort of anti-Semitism. And I agree with that. I mean, that's perfectly fine. But I saw a post from this one gentleman, and it's full of vitriol against the Palestinians. It's just, you know, the Jews should the Jews should retake Israel. And I reported the profile to Twitter. They said, oh, there's nothing wrong with this. I'm like, okay, so anybody criticizing the Jews gets kicked off. But if it's Jews criticizing, you know, calling for basically, you know, taking back all of Israel, that's okay. And I thought that was really rather two-faced of Twitter. That they're going to let that kind of rhetoric go on. So you've been posting about woke Jews. So I'm curious, what are woke
Jews? Okay, so before I get off on this, I want to just define terms. Okay. The word Jew. Okay. What does that mean? So there's a picture of a Venn diagram with two circles. Okay. And nobody gets this until I do this. Picture a Venn diagram with two circles. One circle is a group of people who believe in Yahweh and the Ten Commandments and Moses and all that shit. One group of people is my race. My race has a stupid name, Ashkenazi Jew. It's a stupidly named race. And there is, of course, a lot of overlap. About 50% overlap of Ashkenazi Jews are religious. Okay? But the whole thing, everybody is called a Jew. All right. So when I say that I'm a Jew, I just want to make sure that nobody thinks I'm a Jew. I'm not religious. I'm not believing in any gods, and there's not been any changes. But the name of my race is stupid. It's Ashkenazi Jew. I look like Jeff Goldblum. I look like Sarah Silverman. I even have her same last name because of the race. So when people are clamoring for, you know, Jews to die, for a global kill the Jews day, it affects me. Not because I believe in a God, but because of the name of my race. And because of, you know, that's it's a racial thing. Now, Israel is a state, is a country with a Jewish state. And I do not see any inherent right that the world needs a country with a Jewish state. However, there is one, and it has every right to exist as every other country. And it doesn't have less of a right to exist because it's Jewish than any other state, which has, especially any other country, which has been around for, far less than the last 60 years or so. So when all of this happens and you see Hamas, and of course we try to have a nuanced conversation. We're not talking about Palestinian people. Palestinian people did elect Hamas, but that was a long time ago, and maybe those people haven't had a fair election yet, and maybe they don't like it, or maybe they do, who knows. But they did elect Hamas, and Hamas is not anti-Israel. Hamas is specifically anti-Jew. They hate me. They don't hate Israelis. It's not about Israelis. It's about the Jew. The race, the religion, they don't care. One word for two different things, but they're both covered. And so when I see wokists looking at Israel and saying, okay, those Jews are the oppressors, and those browner Muslims are victims, after the Muslims break the truce because they hate Jews and they went into Israel to kill Jews, and they killed a lot of Jews because they wanted to kill Jews, not Israelis, but Jews. And then the wokists come out and defend that. I wonder what those woke Jews are thinking. Well, I don't wonder what the woke Jews are thinking. I know exactly what every woke Jew is thinking. Let me tell you exactly what every woke Jew is thinking. Every woke Jew, when I say a woke Jew, we're almost always talking about this circle. We're almost always talking about the woke people who are not religious, the Jews who are not religious. I'll tell you what they're all thinking. Yes, let me speak for 100% of them right now. We went to Hebrew school, and we were told the Holocaust could happen again. And with 100% accuracy, I can say this. None of us believed it was true. And now I'm thinking back about Mrs. Kutai and Mrs. Yanchar and all the teachers who told me that. And of course, I was an atheist when that happened. I was an atheist when these people were telling me both of those things. They were telling me God is real and the Holocaust could happen again. I didn't believe either one. And now we are all looking at the left. We are all looking at the left, literally falling in line to support people who want us dead. Not talking about the Palestinian people. Not talking about people who want a two-state solution. I'm not talking about the people who want a truce. I'm talking about the people who support Hamas. Because Hamas is oppressed and the Jews are the oppressors. And let me tell you something, Jason. Tell you something about my race. It is the most oppressed race in the history of the planet. My ancestors faced so much oppression for so long, my race formed. That's thousands of years. And when we're told as children that the worst thing that's ever happened to us, or one of the worst things that's ever happened to us. I mean, the Crusades were arguably pretty bad too. The pogroms in Russia were pretty bad too. But if you take the worst thing that would happen to us and just it's hard to see that brushed off. And it's hard to see that rise again. And it's hard to see your friends do it. And it's hard to see them goose-stepping along the side. It's hard to see them calling you the oppressor when you've been oppressed for longer than everyone else. When your people have been oppressed for longer than everyone else. Of course, I'm not oppressed at all. We're victims of bigotry, but that's not oppression. But also, the race has been oppressed more than anyone else. And now people are oppressing the race while calling the race an oppressor. And it's coming out of the woodwork. It's coming out of the woodwork. It's, and I'm not talking about free Palestine. Well, free Palestine means kill the Jews, right? Free Palestine means the Jews could get out or get dead out of Israel. That's what that means. That's when you see things that are obviously fueled by anti-Semitism and is coming writ large from your team. What are the Jews going to do about it?
So there's actually these woke Jews out there who are supporting Hamas, which is probably the wrong word, but on the side of Hamas. So yeah, that is
because they're afraid to be canceled. So some of those Jews are so afraid to be canceled that they're going to support that shit. They will hate themselves. Those that don't, well, let me put it to you this way. You know, there are a lot of Jews in high places. They're all going to get fired. And they're going to see what it's like to be canceled by the people with the money. There are a lot of Jews in very high places. And there's a lot of power up there. I mean, do you think those donors from Harvard, okay, who pulled their money because of the Hamas protests, 100% they're Jews, right? Of course they're Jews. Those donors who immediately pulled, those high-end, high-capacity donors who pulled because of their lack of support for Israel, those are Jews. And they're not going to give away. They're not going to come back. They're not going to forgive. That, and that's not going to end there. And those Jews have friends. Some of those friends are Christians, but they still rely. It's going to be what I hope for is a different kind of cancel culture. That's what I'm looking for. And yes, I'm hoping for it. I am hoping for it, not only because I think it will be just desserts for those who have deserted the Jews, but also it would be fun to watch. It really would. It would be fun to watch. And it is fun for me to watch the money be pulled from Harvard. I know my alma mater, Brandeis, is going through some stress. You know, I think you're going to see the American Jew, whatever kind of Jew it is, flex his muscle really hard right now. I mean, I have a company. I'm not hiring anybody who's supportive of Hamas. You know, if any of my employees did that, I would fire them on the spot, and I don't have to hide that. I absolutely would do it. So I think what you're about to see is a reckoning, a divorce of the American Jew from the wokeness. And I think it's going to be a painful separation. And, you know, break out the popcorn, Jason. It's going to be a really, really good ride to watch. I'm glad I live in Canada.
It's a bit depressing, too. It's like, what's been really frustrating for me, and like you started off, you said, like, let's define things. And that's where I've been really, really frustrated. Like, when I, you know, in my newsfeed and I see these conversations going on, or even if I offer an opinion, and I think the definitions are important, and I see this false equivalency coming up again and again and again, that, you know, you express sympathy for the Palestinians, that, you know, what the state of, you know, separate, like you just said, like you have the Jews, you have the religious Jews, you have the secular Jews, but there's also the state of Israel. And a lot of Israelis, including Peace Now, and a lot of Israeli journalists have been criticizing Netanyahu. Like, he's created this extreme far right government with these Orthodox zealots. I think it was the Minister of Security was basically calling for the cleansing of the Palestinians. Another, I can't remember what minister it was, said, hey, the Gaza was promised to the tribe of Benjamin. It's our land. We should take it back. So you have ministers in the government making these biblically based claims.
Go ahead. Finish your
point. So, like, what frustrates me so much is this false equivalency that, you know, if I express compassion for the human rights of the Palestinians, people, like, you know, like, they're like, oh, you're a Nazi, oh, you're pro Hamas. I'm like, where did I make that argument? Did I say anything that I supported Hamas? Did I say anything that is pro-terrorism? Did I say anything that Israel doesn't exist? No. All I said was, you know, I sympathize with the plight of the Palestinians and want some human rights for them. And, you know, the Netanyahu government, you know, the Israelis are blaming the Netanyahu government. One journalist was saying, this is what Hamas did is exactly the kind of danger that we've been warning about for years, that if the state of Israel keeps systematically oppressing the Palestinians, that this is exactly what's going to happen. The same journalist also mentioned that, well, everybody's distracted by Gaza. There's evictions going on in the West Bank, and the army standing there just watching and letting it happen while, like, Israeli settlers are going in and expelling Palestinians. And it's just, it's, to me, it's really frustrating that, like, that this false equivalency, it comes up again and again and again. It's like, if you support, if you say anything in positive about the Palestinians, oh, you must be anti-Semitic, oh, you must be a Nazi. And I'm like, you know, stop conflating arguments that, you know, and points that people aren't making. And it just like comes up again and again and again.
And you know, I how do I say this? Civilians are civilians, okay? Children are children, babies are babies. And even the most virulent hater of Jews in Palestine has the right to live and hate all the Jews, okay? They have the right. And I think every human has a basic human right to dignity and a basic human right to life, and at least, you know, a dignified life. I think that war sucks. And I think that we don't have information. I don't have faith in the news. I don't have faith in the information. If we get a lot of information and a lot of, you know, videos and accounts, yes, I'll believe that Hamas broke through the fences and started killing children and babies. But when it comes to Netanyahu and what Israel has done versus what Palestine has done, and it goes back decades and decades, I'm no expert, and I really don't have a strong opinion on it. Like I said, I don't have any allegiance to Israel because of my race. I don't have any sort of I have never had the Zionist type of point of view that we as a world need a state with a state church that is Judaism. I do not subscribe to that. I do, however, clearly see the point where now people are saying, okay, well, let's free Palestine and tell the Jews to go somewhere else. Well, where exactly are they supposed to go? Where exactly are they supposed to go? I see the value for it, Israel there. Now, does it need to be where it is? Does it need to be the Holy Land? And does the world have a right to, does it have the right to exist simply on that basis? No. So I don't have, I don't want anybody to think that I'm a Zionist. I'm not. I don't want anybody to think that I support everything or even the majority of things that Israel does. It's a war. Both sides are in the war, and I don't have the information that I need, and neither do you, to have a really good feel on, at this point, who's the bad guy and who's the good guy. My problem is that Hamas doesn't have a war with Israel. Hamas has a war with Jews. Israel is fighting Palestine. Palestine is fighting me. Okay? And that's where it becomes a different argument for me. That's where it becomes, goes from a regional conflict to a personal conflict. That's where when the Hamas leader comes out and says, you know, let's have a global kill the Jews day. That's about me. And let me tell you something about being 100% Ashkenazi Jew. I don't pass for non-Jew. Okay, if you're looking for a Jew, you're going to find one when you look at me. That's a really interesting experience. Global Kill the Jews Day, when you look very Jewish. It's a very interesting experience. I've stood on stage with death threats before. I've worn Kevlar. That's not a problem. But it is a very interesting experience when you could just be picked out for your looks. And there's a global jihad on your head for the day. because of it. That's not an Israeli-Palestinian conflict. That's racism. That's a country that hates Jews. And the left is on their side. The left is on their side because I'm a member of the oppressor class. And every Jew, every woke Jew is going, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Right now, they're all doing it. I can feel them all doing it. It's going to be an interesting ride, Jason. Next few years are going to be really interesting watching the American Jews separate from wokeism. I think it's going to be a very interesting ride. It's not going to be years either. It's going to be soon, like now. It's happening.
Yeah. Well, I was sent an article. I won't, like you, I will protect privacy. I won't say who. But I think that relationship with that person is now pretty much over. They sent me an article about, it was an alt-right, very alt-right neocon American publication. It says, like, you know, why don't the other Arab countries just take in the Palestinians? And I replied back and said, why should the Palestinians have to be the one to pack up and leave? Like, they were on that land as well. Like, do you not see the hypocrisy? Like, you're saying, like, the Jews should, from the land to the sea for the Jews, that the Palestinians should just have to pack up and leave? You know, it's just like that Israeli minister who's like, hey, the Bible promised Gaza to the tribe of Benjamin. It's ours.
Well, remember, the other side of that is, though, from the river to the sea does mean the Jews will leave or die. Okay, that's what it means. If the Palestinians, if Israel took over Gaza, the Palestinians wouldn't be killed. The Muslims wouldn't be killed if they stayed. I mean, that's not a thing. But the other side is true. The Jews would would be killed, or they could be forced converted. It would be so, and that's why when somebody holds up a free Palestine, that there's a big difference between, you know, supporting the Palestinian citizens and from the river to the sea, Palestine will kill the Jews. And that's exactly what it means. But these people on the left, they don't read. They don't think ahead even one step. They think the Jews will go baby to Florida or something and it'll be all hunky-dory. No, the Jews will be murdered, okay? The Jews will be murdered. It won't be hunky-dory. It won't be peaceful. It will be a bloodbath. And it will be a war. I mean, it would be a bloodbath if that happened. And what do you think would happen? And the left is supporting this. And the Jews on the left are looking at that. Every single one of them is looking at that, even if they deny it. Every single one of them is. And we can all hear our Hebrew school teachers talking to us. I mean, I remember what seat I was sitting in when this teacher said this to me or that teacher said that to me. I remember it because it was drilled into our heads. And we were told it would happen again, and nobody believed it. Yeah. Son of a gun, Jason.
I'm not sure what the solution to this is going to be. I think it's more than religion. It's more, you know, than the Jews and Muslims like this. So this is a much deeper, you know, geopolitical, sociopolitical issue. You know,
well, one of my friends said you're starting in so many different directions, Jason.
Yeah. Like one of my friends, also a secular Jew, you know, he kind of agreed with me on that point about, like, you know, calling out, you know, supporting Palestinians' human rights and, like, people, like, saying that's anti-Semitic. And his fear is kind of like what you're saying, that there's people out there that are advocating for killing the Jews. And if you overuse the term anti-Semitism just because you're conflating, like, it's the word loses its power because people see people using, oh, you're an anti-Semite because you're using it in the wrong term, then the real anti-Semitism is in danger of like you said, like there's people calling for
that's true, but this is the time to use the word. The conversation has to happen right now. What is anti-Semitism? Yes, it is. No, it isn't. You got to have that conversation. Now is the time to have it. You know, there's a point to that. I mean, look at the word racist, right? Racist used to mean something. Archie Bunker was a racist. You didn't want to do that, right? Now all you got to do to be racist is have pale skin and you're a racist. So that has completely lost all of its meaning. I get that point. But I think that if we're going to have, I mean, this is happening so quickly that, and I know that the term anti-Semitism is being bandied about. And, you know, anti-Semitism is about bigotry, right? Anti-Semitism is a form of bigotry. You're giving a trait to a person for an immutable trait, and it's incorrect. We shouldn't be allowing that to happen writ large. Okay, we shouldn't be allowing bigotry to fester writ large. And if the conversation is happening right now, then yeah, I think it's important that everybody decide what anti-Semitism is. Everybody should have that conversation. Everybody should draw that line. And it'll be in different lines for different people. But I mean, it's not about, you know, it's not bigoted against Jews to say, you hope the Palestinian civilians are okay. That's not a negative statement against Jews. I support Hamas is a negative statement against Jews because Hamas hates Jews as a matter of course, by statement. So that's where the line sits for me. If you endorse something that says, I hate Jews, you hate Jews. If you that's all there is to it.
Yeah. And you mentioned about that being Ashkenazi Jewish, but as you know, some of our viewers might not know, like there's that. So the Ashkenazi Jews were the ones that were in Europe, but you have the Sephardic Jews who were in Andalusian Spain and the Ottoman Empire. And from what I know of history, the Sephardic Jews seem to have had a much, much better time. Like Maimonides was born in Cordoba in modern day Spain. He was the court physician to Saladin. A lot of the Jews were in the Sephardic Empire. So when the Catholics, when Isabel and Ferdinand reconquered Spain and they issued the Edict of Expulsion, some of those Jews went to Amsterdam, like Spinoza's family, but some of them went into the Ottoman Empire. So to me, it seems like the Sephardic Jews had a much better time or a much better experience living in the Ottoman or in the Muslim societies and the Ashkenazi Jews had living in Christian society. And Christopher Hitchens had written an article. I was going back when he's been dead for what, about 11, 12 years now, about even within Israel, the Sephardic Jews and the Ashkenazi Jews, you know, like they don't want their kids going to school with each other, that there's even like sort of this bigotry between Ashkenazi and Sephardic Jews within Israel.
That's stupid, right? I mean, it does take a special kind of stupid to be the victim and purveyor of bigotry, right? I mean, if you're a victim of bigotry, as Ashkenazi Jews are, to then turn around and be bigoted to Sephardic Jews, it's ridiculous. The same goes for Jews who are racist and the other side for racist for blacks who are anti-Semitic. There's a ton of anti-Semitism in the African-American community, for instance. And I just find that to be so profoundly ignorant. No matter what direction it goes in. How stupid do you have to be to receive bigotry and then turn around and give it to somebody else because you think that's a good idea?
Yeah.
You know?
Well, there was
that's not an interest in being a humanist.
in Karen Armstrong's book, The Battle for God, she was relating a story about, like, 1980, I believe it was, Rabbi Israel Hess had published an article in Bar Ilan, and it was like genocide, a commandment of the mitzvah, that, you know, the Jews are commanded to kill all the Amalek, and therefore we are commanded to kill. You know, it was basically calling for a genocide of the Palestinian people within like 30 years of the Holocaust. I'm like, what the hell?
It you know, human brains are stupid. Human beings are stupid. Human brains are stupid. I mean, I'm sure, you know, I've done many, many stupid things in my life, and many of them are public. Brains are stupid, but we need to call it out. And so that's why, again, I go back to your other point of why we need to have the anti-Semitism conversation now. Call things anti-Semitic and allow people to challenge you on it. Don't use anti-Semitism as a way to shut it down, to shut down a conversation.
Use anti-Semitism as a way.
Yeah, use it as a way to engage in conversation. Okay,
but that's the problem. They're trying to shut the conversation down. Like, oh, yeah, and
that's not what has to happen. That's not what has to happen. I saw somebody. Oh, I want to say it was. I don't remember what it was. What TV show it was? But they had on an Israeli activist on. And she said that opposing Israel and opposing Zionism was anti-Semitic. And that is absolutely not true. Okay, you don't have to hate. It's not hating Jews to oppose the political ideals of one country. And the fact that you have the same religion / race as the official race there or the official religion there does not bind you to that. It is not anti-Semitic to oppose Israel. It is anti-Semitic to support Hamas because Hamas is anti-Semitic. It is not anti-Semitic to have sympathy for the Palestinian people who are going through a war, just like it is not anti-Semitic to have sympathy for people in Ukraine who are going through a war. That's good. That's humanism. We should do that. And that goes for those people, even if they completely hate everything about Jews. Those people have the right to exist too. That's freedom of thought. But when you use your freedom of thought to support an organization which hates, you support hate. And that's where you draw the line.
I saw one of the Israeli journalists that I mentioned before. She's had a couple of posts that the Netanyahu government has actually been supporting Hamas. I didn't actually go too deep into the article, but I think the Israeli government, I guess because partly with the accords with Gaza, like they provide some sort of financial assistance to Hamas. Or I didn't go too deep into the article, but. This is
why I don't get too much into the war, because there's no information out there that's good.
Yeah.
Netanyahu is supporting Hamas.
Well, not supporting, but prior to that, I guess because they're trying to work with the elected government of Gaza, which is Hamas, that there's some sort of support going on there. So it was an interesting headline anyways.
Yeah. Jason, I really don't trust the news anymore.
Yeah, well, that's what she's saying. Journalist is like, we can't trust what we're getting. There's you know, this fast news that we have to be the first to report, and you know, maybe something is wrong. So, yeah, I know one journalist actually left Israel. He's packed his family up and moved back to Germany of all places.
Can you blame him? No. I mean, the world is going crazy. And we haven't even started talking about the economy of the states or the economic factors that are going to be, you know, changing this world as things go forward. It's going to be a rough next few years, you know.
For sure. Yeah, I'm not sure it's going to get solved.
I don't know how it's going to end. I don't know how this is going to end. I have no. I don't think it's going to end well. No. I don't think it's going to end well.
Yeah.
I live in Canada now. I've kind of escaped it, for lack of a better word. I don't miss it. I don't miss America. I miss what it used to be. I miss my America, but I don't miss what it is now. And Canada ain't so great either. You know, Canada, here I sit. I know there are, I don't have free speech here. I can say things and get in trouble here, and I know it. And there's no guns. And I used to have guns. I used to conceal carry, and now I do not own a gun. And supposedly that's fine because nobody else owns a gun.
Well, there are guns in Canada. My cousin's a hunter, so he's got some guns.
Yeah, but I mean handguns. Handguns. You know, nobody has a hand. Nobody has a gun. Except of course the state. The state has guns. The cops have guns. The officers have guns. It's just the populace doesn't have guns. And in the populace, the bad guys, they have guns. So it's weird. And so, you know, where would I rather? But I will say that the country is not teetering on the brink of civil war. The country is not hating each other.
Canada doesn't have the level of gun violence that the U.S. does, though. So I remember.
Not even close. Not even close. No way. It's apparently way safer here. Yeah. But also, I can't speak my mind. I can't share stories on Facebook. I can't share stories on Facebook because I live in Canada, and Canada restricts you from doing that. So where do you want to go? You can't go to England. It's collapsing. Germany's collapsing. France is already collapsing. Where do you want to go? New Zealand?
Mars.
Australia is. Did you see the police state that happened in Australia during COVID? It's crazy. There's no good place. The world is changing and changing for the worse very, very quickly. And shout out to my friend Masha, who gave me some wise words one day. She said, hug your loved ones. That's it. I have a channel on YouTube. I'm not posting very many videos because I'm really unmotivated to do so. It's just a really, really discouraging place right now. But hopefully I'm wrong. You know, I've been wrong before. Maybe we'll make it.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm taking a bit of time off from social media just because it's depressing the hell out of me.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't really suit a purpose. It doesn't really suit a purpose. I'm concentrating on my new wife, and my company is doing very well. And I'm just going to hug my loved ones and hang out here and maybe do a video every once in a while. Maybe come on somebody else's video every once in a while and just speak my mind for anybody who wants to hear it. But I'm discouraged.
Yeah. To live in the moment with the wife and the dog.
Well, and not to depress everybody, but I mean, there is a lot of work to do, and it's not just the amount of work, it's the amount of momentum that we need to cancel, that we need to counter. That's a lot of momentum. It's going to take years and years, and we have very little support. So, I hope we can do it. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah, maybe we'll come through the other side. We have to get
there. Oh, we will come through the other side. We will survive. The question is, what will the world be like then? What will the world be like in even 5 years, let alone 10.
Yeah, it'd be an interesting journey.
Hug your loved ones.
Yeah.
Wear your seatbelt.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, well, thanks for coming on, David. Appreciate your time.
Oh, my pleasure, Jason.
And your candor.
Well, yeah, thank you so much for having me on. You know, I don't get to do these too often anymore, and it's nice to come on and shoot the shit every once in a while. Hope everybody is having fun. Now, if anybody wants to follow me, let me do a plug. Anybody wants to follow me, I'm at Mr. Atheist Pants on Twitter. And also, we have a donor match going on right now. I have donated $10,000 to Atheist for Liberty as a donor match. So if you donate to Atheist for Liberty, I'll match that money. Now, I am also going to be making a donation to AAI as well, just to let you know.
Yeah.
Maybe not of that size, and then maybe not of that size, but we should talk.
Cool. Well, thank you for that.
All right.
Thanks, David. And
thank you for everything. All right. Take care. Bye.
All right. And thanks, everybody, for watching. Take care. Bye-bye.
Okay, thanks for listening, and don't forget we're on YouTube, so follow us on YouTube. Just search for Atheist Alliance International, and please subscribe and hit that notification bell. We're also on all of your favorite podcast platforms, so make sure that you follow us on there as well. See you next time.